Hello, and welcome to this OCR GCSE English Literature Study session on Shakespeare's Macbeth. I'm here to help you master this incredible tragedy, and more importantly, show you exactly how to earn top marks in your exam. Now, Macbeth is one of Shakespeare's shortest plays, but don't let that fool you. It's absolutely packed with psychological depth, political intrigue, and some of the most quotable lines in English literature. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to explore the core concepts you need to know, tackle those tricky exam techniques, and make sure you avoid the common pitfalls that trip up so many candidates. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's dive into the dark, ambitious world of Macbeth. Let's start with what examiners are really looking for. For OCR Paper 1, Section B, you'll face two parts. Part A asks you to analyze language and structure in a given extract. That's your AO1 and AO2 marks. Part B wants you to write a discursive essay on a theme or character across the whole play, and this is where you bring in context for AO3. Here's the crucial thing. Do not include context in Part A. I repeat, no context in Part A. OCR only awards context marks in Part B. So many students lose marks by talking about the divine right of kings when they should be focusing purely on Shakespeare's language choices in the extract. Now, let's talk themes. Macbeth is driven by five major themes that interconnect beautifully. First, ambition. This is the engine of the tragedy. Macbeth's vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself, is what propels him from loyal thane to murderous tyrant. Notice how Shakespeare uses that metaphor of a horse jumping too high and falling. It foreshadows Macbeth's downfall from the moment he decides to kill Duncan. When you write about ambition, always link it to consequences. Second, guilt and conscience. The blood motif runs through this play like a crimson thread. Lady Macbeth's outdamned spot, and Macbeth's vision of Neptune's ocean unable to wash the blood from his hands. These aren't just dramatic moments, they're Shakespeare showing us that guilt is inescapable. The psychological torment is the real punishment, not the physical death at the end. Third, fate versus free will. The witch's prophecies raise a massive question. Is Macbeth doomed from the start, or does he choose his path? When he says, "If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir," he's considering letting fate take its course. But he doesn't. He acts. Shakespeare leaves this ambiguous deliberately. It makes us question whether we control our destinies or whether we're just playing out predetermined roles. Fourth, kingship and power. Remember, this play was written for King James I, who believed in the divine right of kings, the idea that monarchs are chosen by God. Duncan is presented as a saintly, legitimate king. Macbeth is a usurper, and his reign brings chaos to Scotland. Shakespeare is making a political point here about what happens when the natural order is violated. And fifth, appearance versus reality. Fair is foul, and foul is fair. The witches set this up in the very first scene. Lady Macbeth tells Macbeth to look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. Nothing in this play is what it seems. Candidates who explore this duality, the gap between what characters present and what they truly are, demonstrate sophisticated understanding. Now, let's talk about Shakespeare's methods, because this is where you earn your AO2 marks. Shakespeare uses soliloquies to give us direct access to Macbeth's tortured mind. The "Is this a dagger which I see before me?" soliloquy is a masterclass in dramatic tension. We see his psychological unraveling in real time. Notice the fragmented syntax, the questions, the hallucination. Shakespeare is showing us a man at war with himself. He also disrupts iambic pentameter to signal emotional chaos. When Macbeth says, "I have done the deed," the rhythm is broken, jagged. It mirrors his fractured state of mind. And then there's the blood imagery. It starts as a symbol of bravery. Macbeth is valor's minion on the battlefield. But after Duncan's murder, blood becomes a symbol of guilt, madness, and irreversible sin. Track how this motif evolves across the play. That's the kind of analysis that gets you into level 6. Right, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the play is only half the battle. For Part A, you have 20 minutes. Focus exclusively on the extract. Examiners want you to zoom in on specific words and phrases. Don't just identify techniques, explain their effect. Instead of saying Shakespeare uses a metaphor, say Shakespeare's metaphor of the dagger of the mind reveals Macbeth's psychological fragmentation as the hallucination blurs the boundary between reality and his guilty conscience. For Part B, you have 25 minutes. This is where you range across the whole play. Memorize 3 to 4 key moments outside the extract that link to the question. If the question is about guilt, you might discuss the banquet scene with Banquo's ghost, Lady Macbeth sleepwalking, and Macbeth's final defiant speeches. And here's the big one. Integrate context. Don't bolt it on in a separate paragraph. Weave it into your analysis. For example, Shakespeare presents Macbeth's regicide as a violation of the divine right of kings, a concept central to Jacobean political ideology, which would have horrified contemporary audiences who viewed kingship as sacred. Common mistakes? Feature spotting without analysis, retelling the plot instead of answering the question, and forgetting that Shakespeare was a playwright. Always consider the dramatic impact on the audience. Let's test your recall. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question. 1. Complete this quote. Fair is foul, and? Answer, foul is fair. 2. Who kills Macbeth at the end of the play? Answer, Macduff. 3. What does Lady Macbeth say she would do to a baby if she had sworn to? Answer, dash its brains out. 4. What is Macbeth's title at the start of the play? Answer, Thane of Glamis. 5. Which character's ghost appears at the banquet? Answer, Banquo. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and revise those key moments. All right, let's wrap up. Remember, Macbeth is a play about the corrupting nature of unchecked ambition and the psychological torment of guilt. Shakespeare uses soliloquies, disrupted meter, and powerful imagery to take us inside Macbeth's disintegrating mind. In your exam, Part A is all about close language analysis, no context. Part B is where you bring in the Jacobean worldview and range across the whole text. Always embed quotes, always explain the effect of Shakespeare's methods, and always keep your argument focused on the specific question. You've got this. Macbeth might be a tragedy, but your exam result doesn't have to be. Good luck and happy revising.